This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and for those of you who know me well, you know that not only am I a music theater aficionado, but for many years I worked as a theater critic, managing editor of a performing arts magazine, and hosted an award-winning television series called In the Spotlight that showcased Canada's performing artists. In that role, I interviewed some of the greatest actors, directors, dancers, composers, and theatrical talent in this country. So I have seen hundreds and hundreds of shows all over the world. And every once in a while, a talent comes along that is so awe-inspiring that their work just stops me in my tracks. And really, this is how I felt when I first heard the music and lyrics of this very gifted and masterful composer, Andrew Siok. And before we meet him, I just want to share what I think are the hallmarks of some of the greatest musical theater composers in the world. So a brilliant musical theater composer possesses a myriad of characteristics that enables them to craft memorable and emotionally resonant works. There's creative, technical, interpersonal skills, and often a spark of genius in all of them. And of course, some of them that come to mind are some of the greatest musical theater composers in the world, people such as Stephen Sondheim, Andrew Lloyd Webber, George Gershwin, Leonard Bernstein, Frederick Lowe, and Claude-Michel Schoenberg and Alain Boubile, who composed and created the score for Les Miserables. And remember that, that's a little bit of foreshadowing for you. All of these masters were known for being able to weave complex emotions into their music, melodies, and lyrics to reflect the characters' inner thoughts and their state of mind. Conflicts which require a profound sense of empathy, insight, and genius. But at the core of it all, of great musical theater, are the songs. It's the ability to create compelling melodies and harmonies that are haunting and memorable and that help the audience connect emotionally with the story and with characters in a way that leaves you singing the songs and feeling all of the feels long after the lights go down. This is how I felt when I first experienced the work of Andrew Siok, and most recently, and I think one of his most masterful works to date, his newest crowning achievement, Rosamund, a new musical. So with all of this in mind, I'm excited to introduce you to someone who many are calling a musical theater genius. In fact, I spoke to Marek Norman, and he had many wonderful things to say about Andrew Siok. He's a masterful composer. Some are calling him a wunderkind, and many are comparing his work to the brilliance of a Stephen Sondheim. As I'm saying this, if I'm correct, I know that he's so humble that he's probably going, good Lord, Judy. But before we meet him, let me tell you a little bit more about him. Andrew Siok began his career as a musical theater singer and composer, moved on to vocal coach, which I don't think a lot of people know, then singer-songwriter, record producer, TV film composer, theater creator, and filmmaker, mixing and mastering engineer. Is there anything he can't do? After the success of his first musical, Echoes, Andrew went on to produce and direct its feature film version, which screened at the Montreal World Film Festival and Fort Myers Film Festival. He is currently in the final stages of post-production for his second musical film, What Am I Without You? And he's written and directed the musical short film, Because of You, as well as the dance short film, Everything, where the entire story is told through music and contemporary dance. As well, there's more, the musical documentary Birth of a Song. And in 2019, Andrew wrote the Toronto Fringe Festival hit Unraveled as his second live stage musical project, followed that up with his critically acclaimed mega musical, The Man with the Golden Heart, in 2023. And most recently, the one I'm the most familiar with, as he knows, in 2024, Andrew premiered Rosamund, a new musical, which is really a reimagining of Sleeping Beauty, with the entire run selling out in a matter of days to tremendous standing ovations every night. As a Juno-nominated music producer, he's written and produced music for worldwide campaigns for Nike, Coca-Cola, Samsung, Visa, Dove, Xbox, the Super Bowl, BMW, Dragon Ball Z, as well as numerous TV series such as Playmakers, The Global Morning Show. We know that show. They've been on our show. Canada's Worst Driver. Numerous shows on the Discovery Channel. It goes on and on. He's worked with Feist, Chantel Kreviazuk, Rain Maida, Julie Black, who's also been on this show, Jeff Healey and Stephen Flaherty and Lynn Ahrens, Ragtime Anastasia. Among his recent projects, Andrew has written a short musical film, 90 Days, a love story during COVID times, and his upcoming feature-length musical film, Where Do We Go From Here, which delves into the intricacies of modern relationships. Andrew's also the artistic director of the Eclipse Theatre Company in Toronto. Andrew Seok, I am so delighted to have you here. Welcome, longest bio ever. Welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you for having me. I don't know how I'm going to live up to that introduction, but I will do my best.
I'm dying to delve into Rosamund more than anything, but like all great shows like Entertainment Tonight, I'm going to tease it and we're going to get to it. Because before we do, there's so much more to talk about. You have such a beautiful body of work. You've created 5 musicals, 7 musical films, with Rosamund being the latest of these works that I can't wait to share with our audience. Not to mention the thousands of songs and pieces for major campaigns, as just mentioned, Nike and Coca-Cola and Dove and Super Bowl. So it's best that before we talk about Rosamund, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. The beginning. You're in grade 7. Your sister comes back from London with a cast recording album of Les Miserables. And you become obsessed. You blast it and over, listen to it over and over again. It gets into your bones. What I think you liked about it was the emotion, the drama, the grandness of all, but I'm not going to tell you what you liked. I'm going to ask you, what was it about that cast recording, Andrew, that moved you and resonated with you so deeply?
Well, first of all, wow, you do your research. That show was... I think it was musical theater, at least that type of musical theater, is the culmination of drama, theatricality, and music. So you have such heightened emotional stakes. If you take a regular pop song, at least one that's on the radio, they're not really going to delve too deeply emotionally. They might say, oh, I had a breakup and it was bad and I didn't feel great. But musical theater, you can really dive in and you can say, this is what the breakup did to me. This is what it did to my soul. Not something people necessarily want to hear on the radio while they're driving to work, but definitely when they're in the theater and they're seeing this on stage play out, it's very, very powerful. So when my sister brought back that soundtrack, that was the first time I experienced that, whoa, songs can be like this, which was right up my alley. And I always was writing these songs when I was younger, and they were just really emotional and sappy and oozing with this kind of emotion. And I just thought, this is not appropriate. This is not going to sell. And then I heard that and I went, oh, there's a place for this.
Yes.
And that's where it all started.
Do you remember seeing Les Miserables for the first time and what your reaction was to that?
I do. I think actually seeing that show was maybe the first big musical that I'd ever seen. Probably went on field trips to see, you know, small shows when I was in grade school and whatnot. But that was the first big budget Broadway type musical that I'd ever seen. And yeah, it blew my mind. Like the fact that these people were singing like that, this kind of music on stage. And as you know, theater is this synergistic experience between the audience and the people on stage, and it creates this energy in the room. And knowing the soundtrack as I did so well and then seeing it live, it's life-changing, really.
Life-changing. Unbelievable. So you started to do all of this. Like you started, I think, writing songs when you were 16, but I want to go to your first musical theater foray, which was Echoes. And I want to just quickly share the synopsis with our readers. Inspired by actual soldiers' letters and journals, Echoes is a musical of 3 stories of love and loss over 3 wars and how they're forever connected. And you can tell me more about this, but how did this idea come to be born and what drew you so strongly to this material?
So I think for me, the thing I said before about theater and Les Mis, that the heightened stakes is always of interest to me. Sting once said in an interview, like, I don't like songs that are I love you, you love me. He goes, I don't like songs that are I love you, you don't love me. He said, I like songs that are I love you, you love someone else.
Oh. Yeah.
So when I'm thinking about a show, I have to think, what are the stakes here? How far can I take this? And to have I love you, let's say, be the premise, what about I love you, but I'm an ocean away from you in a war zone? And I don't know if I'm ever going to see you again. So I started researching because I knew I wanted to write about war. So I started researching, reading all these different journal entries. I found this book, which to this day I actually can't find again. And it was letters and journal entries during all these different wars across time. And I got through about 3/4 or 2/3 of the book, and I started to forget as I was reading which war they were referring to, because all of that emotion, all of that experience was the same.
Right. That's
the hurt, right. The anguish, the missing, the longing, the devastation was all the same. And I was like, great, that's it. Echoes through time. This is the story.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Just as an aside here for a moment, there seems to be a through line, Andrew, in all of your work that I first noticed in Echoes, which you wrote, as I mentioned, 2016. The name of the song is Light, but it really could be All We Have Is Love. I don't know, that phrase just really resonated and just packed such a punch with me. It was like, whoa, what a gorgeous phrase. And I'm sure that I heard somewhere, in addition to Jeff Madden singing it, which we're going to play for our audience, I could swear that somewhere I heard a vestige of a female character singing it back to him. I don't know if I dreamed that, if there's a part for a woman in that. But anyway, it's so, so powerful. Not just the beautiful composition that you created, but as part of the through line of your work, which is romantic, sweeping, grand, emotional, and passionate. And I'm just wondering how you chose Light as the title. And can you tell us more about how this song came together?
Sure. So what's interesting about that song is not in the form we're going to play it, which I love. This is not what's in the feature film version, which I'll hopefully try to be able to tie together if my brain can put all this in one coherent paragraph. So originally I had written the show Echoes as 3 different vignettes of 3 different wars, American Civil War, World War I, World War II. And when Jeff Madden was able to actually be a part of the show, I had to write a character for him, but there were no more characters. So I racked my brain. And I think in those moments of necessity come these moments of what objectively could be called brilliance. And I said, well, what if I had, it's all about letters being written to each other. What if I had a postman who actually delivered all of these letters to all of these people? So the beginning of the show, the stage version of the show, is the entire cast comes out and they all read a snippet of a letter that they had written, and then they hand it to the postman. And then throughout the show, the postman delivers those letters to all the characters. So he sings a song at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. And at the beginning, oh dear, I think it actually might be called The Beginning. And then the second song is after he sees all the devastation happening, and the second song is called Chaos.
Yes.
And then the third song is after he realizes that amidst all of this, the only thing that remains,
we have
buildings burned down, people dying, millions of people dying, devastation. And the only thing really that we have left is love. And if you think about all the people who are on their deathbeds and they're like, I don't wish I worked more. I don't wish I made more money. And they want the people that they love around them.
Yes.
And really at the end of the day, that's all we have. So that is why that song is called Light, because out of the chaos comes light, which is my company name now.
Chaos. I was just going to say that that's your production company name. I love that. Well, I'd love to play that song Light for our audience. And I think you have set it up for us. So without further ado, let's all have a listen now to Andrew Seok's beautiful song, Light, sung by Jeff Madden.
This one is soaked with tears. The ink has run, but through the years, the aching has never faded. Here, torn and stained, when hope was lost, their love remained to carry him home unbroken. I have seen a heart break with thunderous despair, but I've seen the heart triumph and conquer and dare. This world cannot break us or tear us apart. This is all I know. All is not gone. All is not held steadfast and true, no matter the cost. All is not lost, all is not lost. All we have is love. All we have is love. Look at this, these gentle words from a little girl who holds the world in her bewitched imagination. These are all I need to know. The world was always free. Only mortar and brick can crumble. I have seen darkness burn down kingdoms of might, but I've also seen love burn darkness with light. This world cannot break us or tear us apart. This is how I know. Hold steadfast and true, no matter the cost. All we have is love. All we have is love.
Wow. As J-Lo would say, goosies. Wow. How do you feel listening back to that piece that you wrote so many years ago? Not so many, but a good eight.
You know, I have this quirk about me that once I write a piece and it's on paper or on recording, it's no longer mine. I listen to it objectively as just a third-party work. But the thing is, everything that I write is right up my alley because it's me writing it. But I'm able to listen to all of my stuff as an outsider, which I really think does benefit me as a creator to be able to objectively look back at my work and not attach too much pride or ego to it.
Wow. Well, that takes a lot of humility. I was right about the humility, which I learned from my daughter, said that about you, but also the grace and grit that it would take to be able to do that, because that's a very difficult thing, especially when it comes to Rosamund, which we're going to get to, and Golden Heart, all of them. I know someone asked you, you know, like a favorite child, do you have a favorite? And like a parent can never say that they have a favorite because they're all favorites in their own way. I found that interesting because I can't believe, because there's one that I think has got to be your favorite because it's one that I've listened to 100 times and it gets under my skin, but I'm taking your word for it, this detachment thing. Well, it's the beautiful, beautiful song from Rosamund that's in the trailer that is sung by AJ Bridell and Gabby Epstein. And there's something about that piece that it gets into your bones and it's so exquisite and ethereal and beautiful. And I don't know enough about music to say it's major chords and G6s and what you're doing, but there's something in that song that I just know. Well, I know we have so much to talk about that piece, but as people said, okay, I'm going to have to talk about Rosamund for a minute. I have to stop and talk about Rosamund. I can't contain myself. So Rosamund is your most recent, your 2024 Fringe Festival, July 4th to the 14th. It played at the Jeannie Lemon Theater. I saw it a couple of times, And I will just say that not just I, but everyone I've spoken to, critics, theatrical luminaries, people in the industry, people who were there, audience members, it was unparalleled. There was something magical. It's not just that it was about a reimagined Sleeping Beauty, But there was something, and interesting, Marek Norman said, not just the solos, those magnificent ballads, but when everyone sang together, when that whole cast, it was gobsmacking. It was majestic. It was beautiful. And it honestly was music that you can't get, I couldn't stop singing it. So that would be my one, not to ever have a favorite child, but that would be the one that I would have to say, I don't know, I'd be a little weakened in the knees by it.
I do love that song. I won't lie. I love that child.
Yeah, you love that child. That child's very special. Tell us about Rosamund. You wrote it during COVID. It is a reimagining of Sleeping Beauty. It's so three-dimensional. And yet it's got modern, wonderful vestiges of a Disney movie. A.J. Bridell was sensational in the role of Rosamund beyond, and you can talk about it, as was Gabby as her foil, as you know, the lead fairy, sort of the evil one. But she was more than evil. She wasn't just, I'm upset that I didn't get to go to the ball and that's why I'm being mean. She had character and depth and motivation and purpose. And there wasn't a false note. That's what Marek Norman said to me, Judy, there was not a false note. It was so powerful. And I can say so much more about what he said, but I can never get out of my mind. And of course, it got 10 minutes standing ovations every night. And I do know that for a fact. And it got everybody saying, this has legs. Remember this night. Because you can say, I saw this at the Jeannie Lamont Theater on Bloor and Spadina on, you know, July 6th or 4th or 10th or 11th, because it's going to go to a lot of places. It has legs. It has Mirvish written all over it. And many have said it has Broadway written all over it. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about your inspiration for Rosamund? And congratulations on it, by the way. I have shivers when I talk about it.
I just wish you enjoyed the show more. That's all. and also, Marek is such a sweetheart.
He sends regards. He sends regards, by the way.
I'm sorry. Amidst all that flattery, I forgot the question. What was the question?
Just what inspired you? I know it was COVID, and I know you were in the middle of a million projects, as you always were and are and do and ongoing forever and ever. And there you were, and this idea sprung to your mind, and it was mm-hmm. so powerful. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about the inspiration, your brainchild, and what happened from there? Don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break. And when we come back, more of Finding Your Bliss and the talented Andrew Siok. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And we're here with gifted musical theater composer and creator, Andrew Siok. And just before the break, Andrew, I asked you what inspired you to create Rosamund the Musical.
So it's interesting. I have a collaborator I work with a lot. He's a creative consultant and whatnot. And he is always encouraging me to, in the most supportive way, write more commercially. Because I typically have written really just whatever was in my heart I would write. And I kept saying to him, look, I'm not a commercial writer. I'm just not. And then, so eventually we found a way to agree on, why don't you just pick an IP that people know?
Nice.
And then write what you want within that IP. And so it's not as easy as one might think. You just don't like go, oh, Goldilocks and Three Bears, great. Or The Great Gatsby or whatnot. You have to look at, does my style, does my voice match what I could do with that story? So, for example, obviously, Sleeping Beauty is a fairy tale, but let's take Cinderella. and this is literally off the top of my head right now, I don't think I could take Cinderella with my voice and my style of writing and make it into something like Rosamund was. Mm-hmm. There was something about this idea that Rosamund does nothing. Yes. In the original story, she just sleeps and waits for a prince. I said, well, that's silly. So let's have her take control of her own fate. Let's have her fight for her freedom. And then as soon as that was put into place, then I said, okay, well, shoot, I can have so much depth here. I could have a villain who, there's a reason why she's a villain, and a really emotionally relatable reason why she's the villain. Yes. I can have a king who is trying to do good, but keeps messing things up. I can have a prince who is not very likable, but without ruining things becomes more likable. I can have a princess.
Lovable, not just likable, lovable.
I can have a princess who has been given these gifts of bravery and strength and is challenged without them, who has to grow and learn about who she is and who she forgot to be. And so once I realized that all of that could be done with my voice, now, not to say that Cinderella couldn't be done by another composer, I'm sure they could do a great job, but not with the way I write. Mm-hmm. And so once that happened, yeah, then it just kind of snowballed and started writing the story. And the more story I wrote, the deeper it got and the more emotional it got. And as you know, there's some heavy moments in it, but I feel like it's quite balanced between humor and drama and love and romance. And yeah.
Especially with your nightly joke as the king that changed every night and was always fabulous about the heat in the theater,
yes.
Which was very oppressive. But you made it so hilarious when you said, listen, electricity wasn't going to be invented for 500 more years. And if you think it's hot down there, you should feel what it feels like out here. As you wore your long black shirt and black pants.
Well, I should have worn that today.
Oh, that was so great. And you know, the simplicity also of the staging. Of all the women in little black dresses and the men dressed in black head to toe. And people have said, if this goes to Broadway, which a lot of people think it will if you want it to, that you almost don't want the sassy, sashaying, satin dresses and ball gowns and props and frippery, because there was something so incredible in the simplicity, because the art got to sing and speak for itself.
Mm-hmm. I do think also for me in these instances, it's always a matter of alchemy. Mm-hmm. So you can't just take a theater, in my opinion, you can't just take a theater and say, this is the show. That happens to be the theater. We're not going to change the show for that theater. We're not going to change the show for the amount of people in the audience. It's all alchemy. And luckily this worked. It's possible it couldn't have, but it did work. And the idea was, we don't have sets. We don't have big costumes. We don't have big lighting changes. This is a concert. But how do we make it so that we're creating a world, but we're not doing a stage show? Mm-hmm. And that idea of everyone in black, but dressed in their characters black.
Yes.
And kind of, I don't want to say miming out the action, but implying the action.
Yes, yes.
Seemed to work really well in that space for this show.
And you created this feeling of candlelight, like there was something very majestic and fairy tale like, and of course there were fairies and there were evil spirits, and it was a fairy tale come to life in a way that was unparalleled. When you saw this unfolding, and I wondered about this, and by the way, everyone, Andrew is an extremely talented singer and musical theater performer. And you have said in much of the research that I've read that there weren't a lot of parts for Asian men in film, television, and stage. So you kind of created it and you've performed in a lot of your pieces, but your voice is incredible and you were magnificent in this role. And what I wondered was, how are you able to give cast notes while you're in it, being the king and doing such a flawless job of doing it and really amazing and singing your heart out? How were you able to see everything that was happening?
Well, David Rogers, who played the narrator,
yes. We
had a many lovely chats, and he's such a wonderful human being.
Yes.
And I kind of said to him, or it came up when he was playing the role of the Phantom of the Opera in Toronto, he said, you learn tricks because you can't die every night. You can't, you know, emote that much eight shows a week. You can't do it. So you find tricks that make it seem like you are, but you're not necessarily doing it. And I think that's what I do, is I have tricks to be able to perform a certain way, but at the same time be thinking about other things. And I do it when I record when I record in the studio and I record a vocal. As I'm singing, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I'll fix that note by doing this, and oh, I'll move this part here, and I'll double this with that vocal. And as I'm singing, it's
just, oh my God.
I think I've been doing it since I was like 13 years old, so it's kind of a habit now.
You're mixing and mastering as you're singing and creating and writing and composing. That's that's pretty cool. There's a beautiful poet named Denise Levertov who wrote, "Two girls discovered a secret in a line of poetry I had written that I had never intended. And when I saw their interpretation, I went, wow, I never saw it that way." Did Rosamund take on a life of its own once that beautiful staging happened from July 4th to 14th and evolved also, because I also watched it evolve, where you saw this thing spring to life in a different way? Did you feel that any of the characters changed before your eyes, going back to that detachment comment you made?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime I do a show where you have actors take on a role, you write, as a writer director, I think it's very different than just being the writer or just being the director. But when you do both and then you have an actor come in and take over that role, you're like, I didn't write that way at all. So you have to be very open to that. And luckily I had just the most amazing cast, and I usually do have just wonderful, wonderful actors. Yeah, if you want to go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you do. You always have wonderful actors in everything. Man from the Golden Heart, the list of names, that was Tess Benger, and that was just a whole Charlotte Moore who's been on the show. And of course, this cast was unparalleled. And you always have this. And you also have great people attached to you in other ways, like Derek Chua and Jeff Madden, producing and performing, and great directors and choreographers. And I want to tell you something about the music. So when I heard the orchestra, which if you close your eyes, you think it's a 40-piece orchestra. Barbara Barsky's husband, Merrick Norman, said this to me, that he went up to the three musicians at the end of the show and he went, "Good Lord." And the musicians told him, "Guess who did these orchestrations?" And he said, "Oh, I'm curious, someone outside of the company." And they said, no, Andrew Siok did all of it. So Andrew Siok was the king. He was the director. He was the composer. He was the theater creator. But you did the orchestrations. And he said, he couldn't believe it, because there were only three musicians, but it sounded like a full-fledged orchestra. Oh. And he also shared that these musicians, when they first played that music, they were blown away, moved. And this was not just a job. You know, often for a musician, it's like a gig. It's like you have a gig, you do the gig. No. They were blown away.
Wow.
By the music.
Thank you.
So, yeah. That really happened.
A quick funny note about that is I did study this, so it's not as though I'm making it up as I go along, but I had a really amazing composer and orchestrator named David Fleury say something similar and compliment me. And I made the joke like, I don't know what I'm doing. That's why it's like that. And he's like, no, you do something very unique. And I go, you know what I do? And I'll share this with the world right now. Most arrangers or composers, when they're writing string parts, specifically string parts, I'm not talking about a trumpet or whatnot, they try to stay out of the way of the vocal. They support the vocal. I write the string parts to be a solo sung line.
Wow.
So you basically have three, if in the show we had cello, violin, and piano. So you have cello singing its own line, violin singing its own line above here, and then the vocal singing its main line in the middle. And again, alchemy, somehow it seems to work, and I'm thrilled with it, but it's not conventional.
It's absolutely gorgeous. And I'm not going to keep our audience in suspense anymore. I want to just ask you to set up this trailer. I sort of described it. It's Gabby Epstein as sort of the malevolent character, and AJ Bridell, who plays the tangled, frozen, modern, reimagined Sleeping Beauty. I'll never forget when she did this, when she sang one of her songs. This will show up in the YouTube version, everyone. I'm going to have to describe it for radio, but she went like this at the end of her song. She went, that little move established
character. I know exactly
character.
What you're talking about.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
I have the shivers when I think about it, because it was just action makes character too, right? And it was just beautiful. Yes. Anyway, so without further ado, can you set up this trailer? And then the whole cast comes in and it's just glorious.
So it's AJ's, what is referred to as want song, I want. And so it's AJ's, Rosamund's want song of wanting to be free and wanting to remember who she was. And then it's kind of a medley. So then Parisa, the evil fairy, comes in and they talk about how sometimes the story doesn't play out the way that you want it to. But now is the time. Today is the day. Tomorrow is now. And the whole cast comes in and we all sing that together as kind of the finale.
And those words resonate so powerfully that everyone is imagining their own fairy tale at that moment.
Yes.
Without further ado, let's have a listen to this gorgeous piece by Andrew Siok from Rosamund, a new musical.
Every day of every passing year, I've waited here, waiting for the stars to fade away, waiting for the days of a quiet 100 years of dreaming on my own. And how quiet the world will be when I wake up all alone. Sometimes the planets align for us, and sometimes our dreams don't come true. Sometimes the fairy tales lie to us, but you'll always have me. Change everything. It can rewrite the ending and turn the tide, tear down the night and the stars collide.
Tomorrow is now, today won't last, and yesterday's lost somewhere in the past. This is forever and never the end. This is the day my story begins.
Oh my God. And seeing that in person, I mean, Gabby and AJ and the prince and you and Roslyn and everyone, the fairies, I knew one of them, and all of it. It was, and the narrator and the wonderful, wonderful Kyle Brown, who played all the different roles. God, he was unbelievable. It was just so friggin' sensational. And so I have to ask you, and I literally have another, I don't know, 61 questions. So I don't know what we're going to do. You're going to have to come back. But any future plans? I know you probably can't tell me, but any little glimmers of what could be next for Rosamund?
I can't tell you. I can say that plans are in the works to move this along. I can also tell you that a dream of mine, and I kind of wrote it this way, is to be an animated feature musical film. Which one day hopefully it will be. But yeah, so plans are kind of, the wheels are in motion, but you know, these things take time.
Will you come back and tell us all about it when those wheels start moving further? I'm just going to do highlights of what I wanted to do, because there's so much more. By the way, congratulations on everything and all that's to come. I've said it, you are a gifted, brilliant wunderkind. And by the way, at one point I said, is it hyperbole for me to be comparing him to Sondheim, to Merrick Norman? He said, I just got the shivers, Judy, because that's exactly what I think about him.
Wow.
And we're not alone. I read every review that exists. And by the way, a big thank you to Toronto Metro Reference Library, where I went in a panic 2 days ago trying to find any vestige of anything more that I might be missing. And they did such a wonderful job putting together a beautiful package on you. So thank you to Toronto Metro Reference Library. If Echoes was one of the sparkling jewels and the glittering crown that started it all, there was also your beautiful piece, Unraveled, which you unraveled for us in March of 2019. But as well, it went on and on with this incredible, The Man with a Golden Heart, another magnificent jewel in your musical coronet. A man is born with a golden heart and can help people who are hurt and struggling, but each time he helps someone, it kills him a little as he gives away a piece of his heart. We follow his extraordinary life from birth to death, while journeying through three historic moments in Canada's past. beautiful, beautiful musical. Let's all have a listen now to some of the spectacular music from the musical, The Man with the Golden Heart. That was so gorgeous. Oh my God. That was so incredibly gorgeous. Like it's unbelievable. Like there's just, there really is a tremendous body of work here that is serious, serious stuff. And everything you touch is successful. So I know your training was at York, at the Berklee School of Music in Boston. And then you got some classical training at the Royal Conservatory. And yet what I also love about you is that you once said that you weren't always so into school. And in fact, once when you weren't able to, you missed a couple of classes, you asked your professor if you could just compose a symphony. Whatever happened there?
I think I dropped that course. I was so far behind. I did write that symphony though.
I bet you did.
On paper somewhere.
I bet you did. Your process, and I've read a lot about it, but just to let our audience know, like, you're writing musicals in 10 days. You write a verse and a chorus, and then you come back to it, and you're writing 20 songs at a time. And can you just briefly, like in 25 words or less, tell us about your process? Because I think people can learn from you. We're going to hear all about Andrew Seok's process right after this short commercial break. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And just before the break, Andrew, I asked you about your process.
Ford assembly line is the way I describe it. It's find the creative nugget, the tone that whatever it is. Let's say we're talking about Phantom of the Opera, the actual song. It's like, there, that's the musical nugget.
Yes.
To me, once I write that, the song is done. Next assembly line. So then I get the next song. What is the next nugget? And then I'll go back to that and I'll flesh it out a little bit. Yes. And then I'll move on to the next song, flesh that out a little bit. And I'll go back to it again. I'll flesh it out even more. And so it's rather than sitting laboriously trying to make one song perfect for 3 months.
Yes.
That's how I write in 10 days.
It's unbelievable. You're such a prolific composer, but I wondered this as well. What do you love about performing when you were standing there on stage belting out that beautiful ballad by the King that you played so well?
I think it's that synergy we talked about before. My collaborator, Shane, he saw Till Then, a show that I know you saw. And it was kind of not his first musical, but he watched the musical. It comes up to me afterwards, and he's not a musical guy. He comes from film. And he was like, they're really singing up there, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like they're actually singing up there. And they dawned on him about this. They could screw up at any moment. They're creating this moment between the audience and themselves. And that's what I love. There is that excitement there, for sure.
That was also COVID Baby. And of course, some of your musical, beautiful compositions were in it, as was Britta Johnson, Richard Azunian, and others. It was an exquisite, exquisite evening. It was an exquisite experience. it was ethereal. I keep saying the word ethereal, but there's, again, love seems to run through your love and ethereal. You're a romantic.
Yeah. Do you know Daniel Abramson?
Yes, of course.
He saw Unraveled and he comes up after me and he goes, just walks up to me. He loved it. And he walks up to me and goes, "Who hurt you?"
I hope no one. You're such a wonderful person. I hope no one. Well, there's nobody that writes a ballad, but also no one that writes funny, sprightly, everything. There's nothing you can't write. There's nothing you can't do. All I know is when fleeting memories and moments from a piece of art stay with you long after the show is over, you know that you truly have something special there. And it was unbelievable. I also love when you talk about your mom and how she would bring 20 people to the show. I don't understand what that's like at all, but I'm just wondering, what does she say about all this? What's your family saying about all of this?
My mom, my brother and sister live in England, but my mother is, yeah, she's my biggest fan, my biggest supporter. She has dreams every night of me flying, which in her interpretation is the success that I'll have in this world. And yeah, I can't say enough about my mom. She's absolutely the best and the most supportive person in my life, absolutely.
What's your ultimate dream? If you could just choose and wave the magic wand, to keep with the jeweled crown and that metaphor, wave the magic wand, and you don't need to wave it because you're doing it. But
it's actually simple. I thought about this a lot, and it's, I want to create the work that I want to create, as opposed to being overly influenced by investors or producers. I want to create the work that I want to create. I want it to be seen by a lot of people and hopefully loved by a lot of people, and, you know, ideally make enough money to make a pretty decent living, but I don't need to be a millionaire. But that's just it. I just want to make work and I want people to see it and hopefully enjoy it.
I'm going to ask you, if you were to sit down, be on a desert island with Stephen Sondheim or with Schoenberg and Alain Bubi, and you can ask them anything, you could ask them anything in the world, what would be some of the things you'd want to talk about with them?
Oh, my. I think my girlfriend and I have had this conversation before. She's not in the arts necessarily, but she definitely has a creative heart. And she said to me, you can be an artist or you can be a commercial pursuer, we'll say. And there's nothing wrong with either, but you can't be both because they run incongruent with one another. Mm-hmm. And so I would ask them about that, about whether they could find some kind of balance between commercialism and artistry.
Yes.
If not, what did they have to sacrifice? And if not, what would they do differently with past shows that they've written to be more fulfilling to their creative soul?
Wow. Do you study works of other musical theater composers, or did you sort of been there, done that when you were in school and you just focus on your own work? Like, do you sort of go back and go, wait a minute, what was Sondheim trying to do in this piece or that?
I don't actively study. When something comes up, like I watch a lot of YouTube
and
musical theater YouTube.
Yes.
And, you know, I'll see something and go and learn something new. Absolutely.
Yes.
And go, oh, I don't remember that from before. Oh, great. But yeah, you know, once you do it, like let's say music production, I've produced so many tracks of music that you can just play anything for me and I could break down every single instrument, every pattern, why they did this, why they did that, EQ they used on that kick drum. And it's just, you just know. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
That's so incredible. So I feel like romantic love is a through line in your work. It's a huge motivation for you. And I know I ask you this, but are you just a hopeless romantic, or do you feel that love is a universal theme that we can all relate to? And ultimately, what is it about love that you love to write about and compose for?
Oh, wow. We're getting into it. This is like a dating profile. I am a hopeless romantic. I love romance. I love, again, it's that heightened thing. I don't necessarily love, I hate horror films, for example.
Me too.
That heightened art form or that heightened experience is not for me. I love, my favorite movie of all time is Shakespeare in Love. So it definitely is me, and it definitely is a through line. And again, talking with Shane about my next project, which we're trying to figure out, I said it has to be a love story. Oh, it just has to be. Like, so there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There has to be a love story. So yeah, I think it's just, you know, and I love it, and people seem to respond to it, and maybe the world are hopeless romantics as well.
The zeitgeist is in the air right now for love, because love combats everything that's not good. Love, mm-hmm. I think, fixes a lot of things. So mm-hmm. I think you have an incredible, like, I know you serve. I know this is work that is outward focused, I feel, mm-hmm. in knowing you and having studied you, and that you are really helping to make the world a better place.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really, really do. So we have some more music that we'd like to share with our audience. We have an excerpt from the musical Unraveled, and I think it really encapsulates this theme of romantic love in your work. Can you set this up for us?
It is Gift of the Magi, Orpheus and Eurydice, and Romeo and Juliet. Those three stories intertwined and messed up and unraveled, and paths cross, storylines merge and whatnot. So it's basically three of the most epic love stories of all time. I guess I do like writing about love.
Let's all have a listen.
Heard that in a long time.
That was incredibly beautiful.
Thank you
for that. You're a man of many talents, a modern day media renaissance man. What made you add filmmaking to your creative roster? Because even the trailers, like that trailer for the AJ Bridell and Gabby Epstein piece with the cast, that is like so beautifully put together.
Thank you. This is actually an interesting story, and I think for your platform, maybe a good story to finish with. So I had done Echoes, the stage show, and I wanted to do the next steps of it. And I thought, well, I'd like to do a movie because movies are forever, whereas production is only for 3 weeks, a couple months. So I had a bunch of meetings with producers and people in the film industry, and they really didn't, the meetings were incredibly frustrating, didn't go anywhere. Borderline patronizing and just completely useless. And I got so frustrated just doing meeting after meeting after meeting that I just said, forget it. I'm going to just do it myself. And I had never held a camera. I don't know how to use, I didn't know how to use a camera. I didn't know. I had to call up my friend who worked for CBC and be like, what camera should I get? What is a focal length? What any crash course? And so then I learned on YouTube how to filmmake, and then I made Echoes the film.
Wow.
And not to say like, oh, I'm so great, I can do this myself, but to say, I think there're going to be so many people in this world who are going to tell you, don't do it. They're going to keep you from doing it. They're going to hold you back from doing whatever you want to do. And that thing that Steve Jobs said, that the people who are running this world are no smarter than you are. I've really come to learn and believe that we have so much power within ourselves to achieve the things that we want to achieve.
What is bliss for Andrew Siak?
I was talking to Shane about this the other day, and I said how I don't have much of an identity outside of the artist that I am. If you were to snip a wire in my brain where I couldn't write music or make pictures or movies or art or anything like that, I literally would wake up every morning not knowing who I was, what to do with my life. I'd be a fish floating in a bowl. So bliss for me is creating. And again, having people see it like you and enjoy it like you. As long as Judy comes to my shows and likes it, that's bliss right there.
Andrew Siak, thank you. It really has been an honor and a blessing, actually, to have you. I was crying before this show. That's how much, you can ask Siobhan, she can attest to it, because I cared about this so much.
Oh.
And I was, yeah, I was crying 5 minutes before I saw you.
Thank you, Judy.
Because I just wanted to, I wanted to give you a modicum of what you've given me in so many.
Thank you. That means so much.
Yeah, that's true. So, Andrew, what is the best way for people to contact you, connect with you on social media, on your website, and all the rest?
Probably best way is Instagram. It's siak.andrew. And you can also go to my website, andrewsiak.com. It's currently under construction, but hopefully in a couple of weeks, it'll be up.
That's amazing. That's so awesome. Well, each week we spotlight someone remarkable as our guest, Andrew Siak. And we also love to feature singers and musicians on this show. So if you are one, please reach out to us. If you're an author, artist, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, or anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we'd love to hear from you as well. Also, what did you love about today's show? Are there any guests or topics you'd like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Just write to us at fyb@findyourbliss.com. For those of you who don't know this, I'm also the Bliss Coach. That means I help you get unstuck, gain clarity, and find your passion and purpose. Reach out to me at findyourbliss.com/coaching. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. And all you have to do is search up Judy Leibrack. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I would like to thank our wonderful guest, Andrew Siak, for being on the show today. Also, a big shout out and thank you to Claudette from the Toronto Metro Reference Library for all of her help. Also, thanks to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, Olivia Vigiani, Associate Producer Eva Shabbatai, Audio Engineer Juliana Yannizziello, Senior Editor Lauren Kaminsky, Video Editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, Audio Producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. I'm going to leave you now with the magnificent music once again from Rosamund the Musical, sung by AJ Bridell, Gabby Epstein, and the rest of the beautiful Rosamund cast.
Every day of every passing year, I've waited here, waiting for the stars to fade away, waiting for the days of a quiet 100 years of dreaming on my own. And how quiet the world will be when I wake up all alone. Sometimes the planets align for us, and sometimes our dreams don't come true. Sometimes the fairy tales lie to us, but you'll always have me. A moment can change everything. It can rewrite the ending and turn the tide, tear down the night and the stars collide.
Tomorrow is now, today won't last, and yesterday's lost somewhere in the past. This is forever and never the end. This is the day my story begins.
For everyone here, I'm Judy Leibrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.